China's rapid economic growth is perhaps best seen in the process of urbanization, some of the most extensive the world has ever seen. And in Beijing and elsewhere, the job of designing prominent urban buildings is going more often than not to Western architects. As NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing, the new buildings are giving some residents of this ancient city a case of visual future shock.
The new offices of state broadcaster China Central Television are now just a couple of vast pits, with clusters of yellow-helmeted workers weaving around tufts of steel rods and girders. The building was designed by Dutch architects Rem Koolhaas and Ole Scheren. At the construction site, Scheren describes the finished structure.
We could describe it as a tube folded in space in an angular geometry. That consists of a base, an L-shaped base, two towers that rise from the both ends of the L. Both towers are inclined 6 degrees in two directions, and as they reach the top at about 180 meters, they cantilever out to connect in a large overhang.
Scheren says it's his firm's most ambitious project to date. Whatever people think of the design, most agree that it's on architecture's cutting edge. Meanwhile, in northern Beijing, Swiss architects Herzog and de Meuron have designed the new Olympic National Stadium. Locals have dubbed it the bird's nest for the seemingly chaotic tangle of steel girders that forms its exterior. Next to it is a swimming center constructed of giant translucent bubbles designed by the Australian firm PTW. British architect Sir Norman Foster has drawn up plans for a new airport terminal here that is supposed to look like a dragon. And right off Tiananmen Square, within sight of the Forbidden City's vermilion walls and yellow-tiled roofs, is the new National Theater. Workers are already putting the last glass and titanium plates on its egg-shaped dome. Some have nicknamed Frenchman Paul Andreu's creation the Blob. Retiree Bi Hong and his wife are strolling down Chang'an Avenue next to the theater. A wiry man with short salt-and-pepper hair, Bi stops to comment on the structure.
The architecture is quite novel if you look at it on its own, but overall, it must be in harmony with surroundings to be good. It should go together with the rest of Tiananmen Square.
The same panel of experts that picked Andreu's design for the theater later protested to the government that it clashed with its surroundings and was too expensive. But this was the ruling Communist Party Politburo's pet project and was not to be vetoed. If the new buildings clash with their surroundings, critics say, it's not just the architect's fault. It's more the fault of politicians who use the radical designs to burnish their own images and trumpet China's growing wealth and status. The selection process for buildings, critics say, is like a beauty contest. It rewards the most visually striking designs, putting aesthetic form before urban function. Professor Zhou Rong of Tsinghua University's School of Architecture says that in recent years, two utopian visions have distorted Beijing's urban planning, one of an idyllic past, the other of a high-tech future. How do we face up to Beijing's boom city reality and its forest of skyscrapers, he asks. We can't flatten it and start all over. We can only refine it, fix it, and make it more beautiful. The theater, the television headquarters, and the National Stadium have all been either delayed or scaled back due to cost concerns. But now they're all on track for completion before the 2008 Olympics. As in any city, the shock of the new will probably give way to familiarity. And as other countries' architectural histories tell us, the passage of time often helps to turn today's urban eyesore into tomorrow's icon. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
You can see an artist's rendering of the China Central Television office building, designed by Rem Koolhaas and Ola Scheren, on our website, npr.org.